It was a June evening, unlike any other, on the 1,770-acre property known as Moselle in South Carolina. Inside the hush of the hunting lodge, the man who once stalked courtrooms and made deals for the powerful called 911 at 10:06 p.m. to report a disaster. His wife and younger son lay dead, shot multiple times near the dog kennels. That same man, Alex Murdaugh, was heir to a dynasty of prosecutors. He was groomed to wield power and protect the community. Yet behind the oak-paneled walls, investigators would later unearth a secret life. Opioid addiction, fraud, betrayal of clients, and a facade of respectability. The question became, how did the rise of a legal titan hide the collapse of everything he claimed to defend? Tonight we begin the unraveling of a double life, on the edge of wealth, law, legacy, and ruin. Chapter 1, Empire and Exposure. For nearly a century, the Murdaugh name carried weight across South Carolina's Lowcountry. Three generations had served as prosecutors for the 14th Judicial Circuit. Courthouse portraits, civic donations, and hunting trips cemented a legacy that looked unshakable. By the time Alex Murdaugh entered the family firm, Peters Murdaugh Parker Eltzroth and Dietrich, the family had become synonymous with influence. Colleagues called him charming and relentless. Judges knew him by first name. He handled wrongful death and injury suits that brought millions in fees. To most, he was the image of success, a red-haired southerner who carried both confidence and courtesy in equal measure. But money came fast and disappeared faster. Quiet borrowing from client accounts began early, masked by prestige and trust. The first public crack appeared not in a courtroom, but on the water. On February 23, 2019, a boat owned by the Murdaugh family struck a bridge piling near Archer's Creek. Passenger Mallory Beach vanished into the dark current. Days later, her body was recovered. The driver, 19-year-old Paul Murdaugh, Alex's younger son, was charged with boating under the influence causing death. Locals whispered about privilege and accountability. Some believed the case would fade, like others tied to powerful families. It did not. Paul faced indictment, and the family circle tightened. Alex hired lawyers for his son, offered condolences in public, and fought behind the scenes to contain the fallout. Friends noticed strain between Alex and his wife, Maggie. Finances grew complicated. The law firm began missing deposits. Still, the family held gatherings at Moselle, a sprawling property of woods, fields, and kennels. On weekends, they hunted ducks and deer, trying to preserve a sense of normalcy. Investigators into the boat crash met obstacles. Witnesses said pressure followed any attempt to speak openly. One survivor described being watched from every angle. Meanwhile, Alex continued working cases, juggling settlements that would later become evidence of theft. Each misused check pulled him deeper. In early 2021, colleagues at the firm began asking about missing funds. The questions pressed harder when one client's payout didn't match records. Alex promised corrections. He blamed clerical delays. But spreadsheets told another story. Hundreds of thousands redirected through secret accounts. His addiction to prescription opioids added fuel to every lie. June 7, 2021, began as an ordinary day on Moselle. Paul was home. Maggie planned to visit her husband later that evening. The farm dogs barked near the kennels as daylight faded. At 10:06 p.m., Alex dialed 911. His voice trembled. "It's bad," he said. "It's bad." Deputies arrived to find Maggie and Paul shot multiple times. The once untouchable dynasty became a crime scene. Investigators from the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division arrived before dawn. They secured the lodge, the dog kennels, and the feed room. Shell casings indicated two weapons, a shotgun and a rifle. Family and friends gathered in disbelief. Public sympathy flooded in at first. Then came the unease. Who could attack the Murdaughs on their own land? And why? Within days, investigators questioned Alex about his whereabouts. He claimed he'd visited his mother and returned to find the bodies. Cell tower data raised doubts. Yet, no arrest followed. The town split between loyalty and suspicion. For the first time in decades, the Murdaugh influence couldn't stop the whispers. By late summer, the law firm confirmed what had long been suspected. Money was missing, and Alex was suspended. He resigned on September 3, 2021. The next day, another headline shocked the state. Alex Murdaugh shot in the head on a rural highway while changing a tire. He survived. Days later, investigators announced it was a staged attack, a failed suicide insurance scheme involving a distant cousin hired to kill him so his surviving son, Buster, could collect a payout. The legend of integrity had become a web of deceit. Every threat investigators pulled led to another lie: stolen settlements, forged signatures, false bank accounts. The double life was no longer rumor. It was unraveling in real time. Chapter 2, Cracks in the Facade. The investigation into the Moselle killings grew wider by the week. What began as a murder inquiry soon exposed years of hidden financial rot. Agents from the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division combed through the family's records. What they found rewrote everything the Lowcountry thought it knew about Alex Murdaugh. He had lived two lives. In one, the polished attorney shook hands at charity galas and quoted case law. In the other, he siphoned funds meant for widows, accident victims, and children who trusted him. Between 2011 and 2021, investigators later confirmed, more than $9 million moved through secret accounts. Each check carried a forged signature or a false memo line. The pattern revealed a man juggling fear, greed, and addiction. Close friends described a steady slide that began years earlier. Painkillers after a college injury turned into dependency. As bills mounted, he found quick fixes in client trust accounts. He told himself it was temporary. It never was. Inside the law firm, whispers of discrepancies grew louder. Partners who once called him brother confronted him with spreadsheets and settlement ledgers. He deflected, saying he was under pressure and would make it right. Then came the staged shooting on the rural highway. When agents confirmed that he had hired his distant cousin Curtis Smith to fire a bullet past his ear, the story collapsed. Within days, Alex confessed to the insurance plot. His explanation stunned even those who thought they knew him best. He said guilt, shame, and opioid withdrawal pushed him toward self-destruction. He checked himself into rehab. Reporters camped outside treatment centers, waiting for updates from a family once known for silence. Meanwhile, prosecutors turned their attention to motive. The timing of the murders, just hours after the firm questioned missing funds, looked less like coincidence and more like desperation. Investigators built a digital map of his movements. Cell tower pings placed him near the kennels minutes before the shootings. A video on Paul's phone captured his father's voice at the scene moments before death. Public patience thinned. Each press conference layered shock over disbelief. "We all grew up with them," one resident said. "You didn't question a Murdaugh." Now the question was how deep the privilege ran and how many looked away. By the winter of 2021, indictments stacked up: financial crimes, insurance fraud, conspiracy, and obstruction. Still, no murder charge came. Alex's surviving son, Buster, avoided the spotlight, moving quietly between relatives. Maggie's family issued brief statements asking for privacy and truth. In July 2022, the waiting ended. A grand jury indicted Alex Murdaugh for the murders of his wife and son. Prosecutors argued that financial ruin and exposure drove him to erase the witnesses closest to his downfall. Defense attorneys called the case circumstantial and cruel. Court filings painted a portrait of control slipping away. By June 2021, the firm's accountants were ready to confront him. The beach crash civil suit was nearing trial. His opioid addiction was unsustainable. In that pressure cooker, prosecutors said, he turned violent. The indictment shook the region again. The same courthouse where his ancestors once prosecuted others now prepared to try one of their own. Outside, news trucks filled the square. Inside, the old portraits of past solicitors hung above the hallway like silent judges. As the trial date approached, the evidence list grew. GPS data, call logs, gun residue tests, and forensic accounting reports that tracked stolen settlements. Investigators compared bullet casings from Moselle to family-owned firearms. They found matches. Alex maintained his innocence. From his cell, he told reporters he would fight to clear my name. In recorded jail calls, his tone shifted between defiance and sorrow. "They won't understand," he said once, "what it's like to lose everything at once." Behind bars, the facade continued to crumble. His former law firm sued him for damages. The South Carolina Supreme Court disbarred him. Former clients came forward with stories of betrayal. One widow said the hardest part was realizing he smiled while he stole. When pretrial hearings began in late 2022, the courtroom was packed daily. Prosecutors promised a case built on mountains of motive. The defense countered that no physical evidence tied Alex to the murders. The state had no murder weapon, no eyewitness, and no confession. But what they did have, they said, was decades of deceit and a trail of lies that ended in blood. As Discovery files filled hundreds of pages, the public started seeing the man behind the myth. A lawyer who weaponized trust, a father haunted by exposure, and a system that failed to see what was happening in plain sight. On January 25, 2023, the trial began. Jurors filed in under intense media glare. The prosecution opened with a stark sentence. Power, privilege, and greed can lead a man to do unspeakable things. For the first time, Alex Murdaugh faced the same justice system his family once controlled. Chapter 3, Verdict and Aftermath. The Murdaugh trial unfolded like no other in South Carolina's modern history. For 6 weeks, cameras captured every witness, every chart, every moment of silence. The courthouse in Walterboro became the stage where a century of family power met its reckoning. Lines formed before dawn. Reporters filled pews once reserved for church services. Locals brought folding chairs to watch from outside on screens. At the defense table, Alex Murdaugh sat in a navy jacket, eyes forward, sometimes nodding at jurors. Gone was the confident attorney who once commanded courtrooms. In his place was an accused murderer facing life imprisonment. Behind him sat his surviving son, Buster, stoic through each testimony. Prosecutors built their case on timing, data, and deceit. They showed how Alex's phone records contradicted his story. At 8:44 p.m. on June 7, 2021, Paul's phone captured a short video of a friend's dog at the kennels. In the background, a familiar voice called the animal's name. Experts confirmed it was Alex. Minutes later, that phone went silent forever. The state's narrative was simple. Exposure was closing in, money was gone, and Alex Murdaugh's world was collapsing. They argued that he killed his wife and son to delay the unraveling, to buy sympathy and stall discovery of his crimes. They showed financial charts tracing missing settlements, questioned bankers about shell accounts, and replayed the 911 call that started it all. The defense struck back, calling the theory impossible. They painted Alex as a broken man, not a killer, a husband and father crushed by addiction and grief. They reminded jurors there were no eyewitnesses, no confession, and no murder weapon found. Expert witnesses debated the angle of bullet wounds and the reliability of blood spatter. The jury listened, weary but focused. Then Alex took the stand. For 2 days, he testified in his own defense, a gamble few expected. He admitted to stealing millions and lying for years. He admitted to the roadside insurance plot. But when asked if he shot Maggie and Paul, his voice cracked. I would never hurt them, ever. Prosecutors seized on the contradiction. You lied to everyone for decades, the attorney said. Why should this jury believe you now? The trial's turning point came in closing arguments. The state replayed Paul's kennel video and paused on the sound of Alex's voice. They spoke of motive, opportunity, and betrayal. The defense urged jurors to look for reasonable doubt, reminding them of missing forensic proof. After 6 weeks of testimony and nearly 30 witnesses, the jury retired. Less than 3 hours later, a note arrived. They had a verdict. The courtroom fell silent as the clerk read the words. Guilty on both counts of murder, guilty on related weapons charges. Alex Murdaugh stood still, eyes fixed on the table. His surviving son wiped tears. The judge pronounced 2 consecutive life sentences without parole. Outside, the night air was heavy. Reporters shouted questions. None were answered. The town that once whispered now spoke openly about privilege and power. The Murdaugh dynasty had fallen in full view of the world. Weeks later, Alex returned to a state prison in Columbia. Behind walls topped with razor wire, he began appealing the verdict. His lawyers argued that juror bias and media pressure tainted the process. In 2024, appellate motions continued, but the conviction held. Parallel cases for financial crimes brought dozens more guilty pleas and additional decades in prison. The law firm that once bore his family name changed its title and rebuilt its reputation. Colleagues testified that accountability mattered more than legacy. For the victims of his thefts, repayment funds trickled slowly from seized assets. Many would never be made whole. In the Lowcountry, people still drive past Moselle, now sold at auction. The kennels stand quiet, the fields overgrown. Hunters say you can feel the silence there, a pause that doesn't lift. The story of Alex Murdaugh became more than a courtroom saga. It was a study in how unchecked power corrodes from within. It showed how reputation can shield wrongdoing until truth forces its way through. In the end, a man who once argued for justice found himself defined by deception. His empire built on trust became evidence in a trial that exposed not only one family's secrets, but the fragility of faith and power itself. And in the quiet hours of every new appeal, the same unanswered question lingers. At what moment did Alex Murdaugh's two lives finally become one?